Lord, speak to us. Amen. If I was a better preacher, I would have taken what I just saw and I would probably have made a note in my notes here to incorporate that in, but I'm not that good a preacher. And I didn't have a pen. But I've heard that story my whole life. And I never saw Jesus stoop down to the man. And so thank you, Karen. Awake, O sleeper. Wake up, sleeping ones. Waking up. What a beautiful metaphor. I mean, talk about fuzzy grammar. Because on the one hand, I can rightly say that I woke up this morning. I woke up. And by the look of it, most of you woke up this morning too. And I'll bet I'm not the only one who feels that waking up was a very long time ago. And on the other, I must also say that it was that infernal smartphone alarm that woke me up. I woke up. I was woken up. And a few days from now, when perhaps I'm permitted to go to bed at a reasonable hour without an alarm set, I may yet wake on my own. But in truth, it will be God stirring me from slumber and granting me yet one more day of life. We do not waken on our own. We are summoned from sleep, and yet we are very much participants in our awaking. Awake, O sleeper. Wake up, sleeping ones, and Christ, the true light, will shine on you. You and I, sisters and brothers, have been woken up. Some of us can testify maybe to a jarring alarm and a bright light intruding into a deep sleep. Others might tell of a gentle waking, of being soothed into wakefulness by a gentle light and avian melody. They may be unable to identify the moment they passed from unconsciousness into consciousness. Some have spent so much time awake, they cannot remember awaking. The beauty is in our family, this IWS family and the wider family of the church, the beauty is that our stories, our testimonies are all different. Some of us arrived here so long ago, we cannot remember being anywhere else. Some of us can remember vividly the wretched old human being that has been put to death, praise God, and the stark contrast with the new spirit-filled person brought to life. Some of us arrived with shouts of joyful hallelujahs. Others were dragged in, kicking and screaming. These are our stories, variegated, full of grace, each of them. God has chosen us. And we, with St. Augustine, exclaim, "You called and shouted and burst my deafness. You flashed and shone and scattered my blindness. You breathed aromas and I drew in breath. And now I pant for you. I tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. How about hallelujah again? You can try it. All right. But what we have discovered, you and I, is that though it may have seemed like we had finally arrived at our awaking, indeed, life had just begun. The chasm between what we were and what we became at our conversion may have made it seem that we had been completely changed, completely restored, completely healed. And it is not so. At some point, if not at many points, we all must face the reality of a certain holy disappointment. The disappointment, if you will, that God's grace is so big because it turns out our need is far bigger than we had heretofore understood. We've awoken, but we are still broken. And living life has a way of continuing to both break us and reveal our brokenness. I put on my preaching shoes this morning, excited about tonight, and then I trudged through the IWS campus and through grass parking lots and puddles, and well, now they're not what they were this morning. Praise God they match. I have a blue set and a brown set, and at least in the dark I got the right ones on, but I mean, we battle sickness and disease, oppression and injustice, wickedness and indifference, and sometimes we do not win. We scrap together a little bit of obedience, we follow where we understand our Lord to be leading, and we're left to wonder why it's so difficult. So expletive deleted, difficult. And to top it all off, this God who is love, this God who would adorn deity with the rags of humanity, this God who would come to us and by grace would save us, has the audacity to sometimes decline to give us what we ask for? The very things we know we need, all due respect. I guess what I'm trying to say, and you'll forgive me, I may not be saying it so well. I got nominated and agreed to do this. Before I knew what it was I was supposed to preach. And of course, at the time I said, well, I'll have to pray about it. But what I really meant, I think, was of course I'll do it because it's a tremendous honor. And maybe I'll be able to impress them. And they'll admire my great preaching and like me and accept me. And so I did pray and I did think, but I don't know if I ever really considered that I ought to have said no in any case. I said yes. And only as the weeks went on and our service began to take shape and a direction became clear did I really come to grips with how hard this was probably going to be and the likelihood that I'm really not capable of doing this. Have mercy on me, Lord. I guess what I'm trying to say is that if we have received the name Christian and we're doing our best, if some percentage of our best, to walk the Christian life, we probably have at least two problems that, at least in my life, are inextricably linked. We're beat up and broken as a result of what happens to us from outside, and sadly, sometimes from inside our family. And there are parts of us that are still broken down inside. And I think most of us have accepted by now that, dear God, please take away all my sins and all my pain of every kind in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Oh. Won't solve everything quickly, easily, painlessly, without scarring. Like all those laser surgery ads promise, you know. And so we pray a little more, maybe something like, "Dear God, give me more faith, enough faith so you'll be pleased enough with me to fix these things that are wrong." I mean, not these, sorry. These things that are wrong out there. You guys are great over here, sorry. I mean, we probably don't pray those words, right? But there are just, just after I moved back to this area, I was in the Starbucks down the road in Fleming Island. That way. Just down the road in Starbucks, Fleming Island. And I don't mind Starbucks, you know. I'd hoped to go down a little further south to my new favorite local coffee shop, but things didn't work out the way I wanted, so I settled in at the Bucks, and while sipping on a tall Americano, I pulled out my laptop and I started working, trying to get caught up before the day got completely away from me. And wouldn't you know, this older gentleman started making conversation. "Oh, so you like those Macintosh apples? Well, yeah, this one works well for me. Yeah, I got some of those Macs at home, like that Air one." And I told him which model I had, and he asked me how I liked it, and I thought, didn't I already answer that? And I told you I liked it when you interrupted me the first time, but I didn't say that. I said it worked really well for me. And he asked what kind of work I did, and I told him I was the director of technical services for this graduate school for Christian worship leaders. That sounded nice and important. And I paused for just a moment, and I thought about how I'm always telling other people that they should pay attention to those times when maybe God is interrupting, and how if we want to see the kingdom of God spread, we really have to try to start spiritual conversations. And so I added, "And my wife and I are planting a church out here in Clay County," and said goodbye to getting any work done on the new server. And he told me stories of his own work as a church planter. And then he told me he needed to tell me a story about healing. "I believe," he said, "that God will heal anybody, everybody who has faith." "Do you believe that?" he asked me. And I smiled and I said, "Well, yes, but," and he cut me off and said, "I don't mean when we get to heaven. I mean that God promises to heal physically anybody who has enough faith." He was real proud of himself for believing that. And he told me a story about one time how he prayed for a newborn baby who was flatlining in the hospital, and the baby's heart began to beat again, hallelujah, off on its own. And he didn't say that he was claiming credit. He with his words, he gave all the glory to God. But he explained to me in no uncertain terms how he had proved that God will heal anybody with enough faith. Now, he didn't really think that God was going to raise the baby, and he told me that you had to have faith to be healed, and the baby is days old. And I didn't ask, you know, how much faith the baby had, because it's a nice, simple explanation, isn't it? Just get more faith, and God will heal you. But the scriptures and our own lives don't bear the weight of that. I mean, Well, you know, as an IT guy, the worst problems tend to be these, that a problem emerges and somebody who means the best, who means to save me time, tries to fix it on their own, but beyond their technical capacity. And now, recognizing that things are really bad, they finally sought help. Now they're really desperate. And I have to say to them, we could have avoided a lot of this mess, not all of it, but a lot of it, if you had just come to me sooner. And I say, maybe next time. And they say, maybe next time. But except at IWS, they almost never do. I'm telling jokes so you'll like me. Too often, the servants of God and the ministers of the body of Christ approach the healer in the manner of Naaman, headed in the right direction, but in the wrong manner. Headed in the right direction, but in the wrong way. That would have been better English. Oh, anyway. We approach like Naaman, whether we desire cleansing of sin or healing of a physical ailment or freedom from the bonds of addiction or amending of that which has been torn apart in our hearts, we desperately approach in the wrong posture. Don't get me wrong, it is better to approach God in desperation and in the wrong way than to go somewhere else. But we load up our 10 talents of silver, our 6,000 shekels of gold, our 10 changes of clothing, our projects, our theses, our worship planning and leading. We load that into the fanciest cart we can find, and we struggle and strain and hauled in front of Jesus and ask in desperation, what more do you want from me? And God says to us, awake, O sleeper. Let the light of my Son, the Christ, the Anointed, the suffering servant, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, who loves you enough to suffer with you and to die for you, shine upon you. Let me heal you through his woundedness. And we recoil. That's it? Come to Jesus? How trite can you be? What about all my silver and gold? And I mean, come on, what about these 10 changes of clothing I brought? And I'm here to you today not as Almighty King or the prophet, but as the lowly servant, to say that this is the great word that has been spoken to us. Wash and be clean. Let the light shine upon you and drive out darkness. Draw near to Christ the light. Not that one. Wait for the other one, guys. Draw near to Christ the light. You who have carried such a burden for so long, I mean, now I mean you. That guy who was walking around Jerusalem, he's stooping down to us. Do you want to be healed? Come near the light. Stop shielding the broken down inside parts, whether because of sin or the sins of others or just what's the result of a tragically broken creation. Stop hiding that from the light. Trust in the goodness of the one who loves us enough to be here with us tonight. Trust in the inarguable reality that light drives out darkness. There is something delightful in that image that John gives us in his prologue, isn't there? That the true light came into the world. It was an objective thing that happened. And the light shines in the darkness, granting fullness of life and grace upon grace. And the darkness has not, will not, cannot overcome it, because light always and every time drives out darkness exposed to it. There is no ambiguity in that. There is no uncertainty. Light shines in the darkness and overwhelms it. Draw near to Jesus Christ, the light. Draw near and trust in his healing power. Draw near to our Lord and his presence in our ministers of healing. Draw near to his table where we by grace truly receive him. Draw near and trust that everything this light touches is restored like the flesh of a little child, like an innocent babe. Draw near and trust that it is impossible for it to be otherwise. Draw near and trust that the healing offered you is real, but not a removal from suffering. Something much more. The unfailing goodness of the presence of the divine. Draw near to Christ, our light. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.